Welcome into the Zoneheads podcast. Your host, Brandon Kravitz here. And boy, do I have something special queued up for you. A conversation with arguably the hottest star in WWE, period. A guy that I've become quite fond of as a wrestling fan. He reminds me of some of the greats on the mic, The Rock, Stone Cold, Roddy Piper, John Cena, and I don't make these claims lightly. LA Knight is just as good and even better at times when he's given good material and a good storyline to work with. He's just as good as these guys in terms of keeping the audience in the palm of his hand. But this has not always been a smooth ride for him. This is a guy that started his rise through TNA, some of which was even in our backyard in Orlando, which does not guarantee you success. He's one of the older guys on the roster, yet he feels like one of the freshest stars in WWE. So how did he go from a floundering at the worst to the semi-successful professional wrestler to a guy who is one of the biggest stars on the planet? We'll get into all of that here. Remember, if you like what you hear on this episode or any episodes that have come before it, please hit that subscribe button, download new episodes when they come out. It goes a really long way as we continue to try and grow this thing brick by brick. Enjoy the conversation. Well, this is going to be a load of fun. I am joined by a very special guest.
Don't get ahead of yourself. This might be misery. You don't know.
I'm going to start us off on a strong foot. If you want to take us in a different direction, that's absolutely fine. The uber-talented L.A. Knight, WWE superstar, L.A. Knight and friends coming to town on August 16th for Friday Night SmackDown right here in Orlando, Florida. I'm looking at that background right now. You have the belt of my dreams behind you, that million-dollar championship. Yeah. That thing is a beauty.
Yeah, it is. Unfortunately, that is not the one. This is one of the ones that I'd used on TV, though. But like the one, like you can't have that one without having like a bunch of security around you. I mean, that thing is so protected. It's literally one of one. It's legitimately like gold plated. There's real diamonds in the back of it. Like it's the real deal. See, this unfortunately is not that one. If I could have it, I would have it sitting right there.
Is it signed by Ted DiBiase at the very least?
What, this one?
Yeah.
No, but like I said, it has the legitimacy of the fact that I did use it on TV at NXT a couple times because I at least wanted that where it was like, all right, give me one of the ones that we used on TV and let me have that.
That's fantastic. So I'm going to start with the most obvious question for anybody that's in your, not just business, but your company specifically. And we'll just rip the Band-Aid off there. Vince McMahon is no longer part of the promotion. You don't want to kick a guy while he's down. But how have things been since the change of leadership?
I kick plenty of guys while I'm down. Let's not get mistaken. But, yeah, let's go ahead.
How have you noticed that things have changed? I can tell you that from a viewership perspective, it feels different. I can't quite put my finger on it. But yeah. I imagine that if it feels different for me and you're living it, then it's different for you as well.
Yeah, well, first of all, I just want to rewind for a second, because did I just say kick while I'm down or while they're down? I don't remember, but either way, I just woke up a little bit ago, so you can't really fault me for it.
Take another sip of that coffee, and we'll get this.
Yeah, I'm going to need a whole big gulp of that coffee. But, now, you know, yeah, I mean, of course, a lot of people, I think, have noticed just an uptick in the business in general, particularly our business, and things really been taken off in the last, year and a half or so. I think some of that's just, man, fresh take. And with that fresh take, that fresh outlook and kind of doing things slightly differently, I think the people see that, the people feel that. And, of course, the talent are going to see and feel that. And so the product just feels maybe a little refreshed, we'll say.
As a performer, what is the thing that you value the most? Is it the ability to have a say in creative? Is it just being given a good direction? When things are going well for you, and right now I think we could say that things are going well for you, what is it that you value most?
I do need a little freedom to be me, because that's kind of what, you know, that's what brought me to the dance. And so in that regard, it's just a matter of like having the trust of like, hey, man, I'm going to go out there. I know I've got X amount of time to talk. I'm just going to go and do my thing. You know, it just follow me. And so to have that kind of trust of just like, again, being able to be me and do me, that's huge. Because there's one thing to go out there and have all this, you know, material in your head. Hey, I'm going to say this and this. For me, I don't know. I want to be able to listen and react. What's happening out there? What are the people giving me? What's the other person in the ring giving me? And let me go from there.
And it seems like that's what the best on the mic have always been able to do, is look at a script and say, thank you very much. Now let me put my spin. Give me bullet points. Don't give me the paragraphs. And it is that what you mean? Or are you talking about freedom in terms of time allotted? Because you want
I mean, with being live TV, you want to try and hit your times as much as you can. That's a respectful thing to do for your peers, the network, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it's kind of just, to me, I feel like it shows kind of a level of your professionalism as far as you being good at what you do and doing it in the time allotted. So, it's that freedom to be handed maybe some sort of a whatever it's called, a script or a
rundown, maybe.
Sure, we'll call it the rundown. But format is the word I was looking for. Whatever it is, to where it's like, okay, I can at least see where you're trying to go with this. I'll take that idea and make it mine.
Yeah. Your climb up the ranks has been an inspirational one. This was not an overnight success situation. Were there points in your career where you thought, I know there are points in your career where you thought, that's kind of worked for you. But where you thought, this just isn't working for me.
No. No. And that might sound crazy because it was such a long trudge through the mud. I felt like I always had something ready to go. At the same time, it was just a matter of getting through the politics. It was a matter of getting in front of the right people and getting the right opportunities to let that shine. At the same time, did I think it was going to go how it did last year? Hell no. I always knew when I first came in NXT, before they even hired me, because the long story short, I had opportunities to go there 3 years in a row in 2016, 2017, 2018. For financial reasons and just I was feeling real stable and making good money elsewhere, I said, I'm going to hang here for a bit. There was a little bit of, after the third year, kind of like, okay, well, good luck out there. And so finally, when the overture was made again in 2020, it was probably like the fall of 2020, and we kind of started putting the pieces in place to make that debut in 2021, I had literally said, I said, bring me in. And if I'm not over within 3 months, we'll part ways. You'll never hear from me again. Because for me, I know that I can come in and do something different. And especially in that landscape of what was happening in NXT at the time. Now, a lot of those guys can do a lot of things that I can't do physically and this, that, whatever. But for me, I know that I can get over as a character. I know I can get over in a verbal sense. And then as far as getting in the ring, I could still put together a damn good match. Am I going to go, you know, flippy flopping and doing a bunch of, you know, goofy kicks and stuff like that? No, but I'm going to come in and I'm going to fight and I'm going to talk trash the whole time.
But at the same time, you look at the biggest money makers in the history of wrestling and they, for the most part, aren't those guys. The flippy floppy, as I've never referred to them that way, but that will be stuck in my head forever.
Flippy floppy.
Unless you talk about like if you're talking about tippy top guys, Shawn Michaels.
Tippy toppy and flippy floppy. Here we go.
Tippy toppy, flippy floppy guys. Yeah. Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair. Like you talk about the best of the best. And is that sort of where you got that confidence from that, hey, if I can just win them on the mic, the rest will take care of itself?
Well, sure. I think it was just naturally that way. Like those were always my favorite guys, with guys who could talk. My brothers, for instance, I got two older brothers and they're very casual fans. Like we always watch it with my dad and stuff like that. But like somewhere around the time that, you know, they were probably college age and beyond, they kind of fell out with it. And then in like the Attitude Era, when it came back, they came back into it and they were like, man, half the time I just watch for the talking. And I'm just like, yeah. Cause I mean, that was kind of the most exciting stuff a lot of times, especially around that time. So That's the stuff I gravitated towards. But again, you also still have to be proficient in the ring, be able to put that stuff together. So, yeah, I mean, for me, it wasn't even like, I don't know if it was necessarily a conscious thought as far as like, all right, I'm going to get into this business. I'm going to be a good talker.
You can curse, by the way. Don't worry about it.
What if I was going to say fudge there? You don't know. But it was just kind of like, man, those were the guys that I gravitated towards. Those are my favorite guys. And like, you know, the guys who could like jump around and do crazy, awesome, super technical matches, that was cool and fine. I didn't dislike them, but they didn't really speak to me the same way. So I kind of modeled myself after the guys that spoke to me the most.
Ever since I've paid attention to your character on screen, you've had the crowd in the palm of your hand, but I imagine that even for someone who's good on the mic, it's not always been that way. Have you ever gone through a stage in your career where you're cutting a promo, you're in the ring, and you just don't feel it from the crowd? Like they just don't feel engaged.
Brother, I walked in the business really damn good. I was the best from day one. I can't remember a particular instance of really like shit in the bed. In that regard, I'm sure they weren't. See, here's the thing, and I'm going to sound like I'm really giving myself a major amount of congratulations here, but it's not really me as much as it is the industry. I don't think in independent wrestling, a lot of guys work on that stuff. I don't think a lot of guys think about that stuff or pay attention to getting the promos. So like most of the places that I went to, I was usually the best talker. And that's even from the beginning, just because a lot of the guys there, and maybe I'm being a little overzealous with like the very first place that I started, because obviously it took a little bit of time to develop, but I can remember even just a year in to my career, kind of my promos being a thing that kind of drove the people toward me a little bit. And that was because I think in that first year that I'd been there, we might've done a single day of promo class. And for me, it was just kind of like, all right, well, I'm just going to talk. Cause I mean, at that point in time, there's no TV format. There's no time in the promo. Obviously you don't want to go super long winded. And sometimes there were times where I definitely caught myself like, okay, you're talking too much. You got to learn to edit yourself and back it off and just get to the meat of the matter, get to the best stuff, get to the most poignant stuff, and less is more.
It's amazing to me that you entering into the industry that you're not, like, it sounded like you took this path of I'm gonna talk people into the building from the very beginning, and that was unique. Yet it is the clearest way to make money in wrestling. So what's missing for me that's not number one, or at least 1A, 1B that get into the business?
I don't know. It's interesting to me that I feel like I'm always an outlier everywhere I've gone, as far as like whether it's independent wrestling or in WWE or elsewhere. Whenever anybody talks about their favorite wrestlers, I feel like it's always the same couple guys, and it's usually like a Shawn Michaels or something like that. No disrespect to Shawn. I love the hell out of Shawn. I was a big Shawn Michaels fan when I was a kid, but I wouldn't say that like he was like my bread and butter number one guy. And for a lot of people, it is, and there's nothing wrong with that because he is amazing.
At the same time, Shawn can talk too.
Yeah, Shawn can talk too. That's the other thing. But I feel like a lot of people got stuck on how good he was in the ring and just focused on that and didn't focus on, well, wait a minute, he was also the heartbreak kid, which was huge. He had a whole shtick, and he had a talk, and he had an attitude to him and everything that wasn't just, oh, I'm going to go out here and have these awesome knockdown matches. So it's almost like they focused on Shawn Michaels and just focused on the one area that he was amazing at, as opposed to, hey, there's an entire gigantic onion of layers for this guy that you can peel back and take from. And I think a lot of people, for whatever reason, just got stuck on, oh, he had all these classic WrestleMania matches, all these great matches, he had such great work rate, whatever that means, and they get stuck on that, as opposed to he had a character and he could talk and he connected with people. I think that's kind of the major outlier. And I think that honestly, if you think about it, a lot of people, biggest fear is public speaking, isn't, I think death comes number two to public speaking, doesn't it, as far as people's fears?
I think spiders are somewhere in the top three, but that's pretty much it.
Yeah, so we got public speaking, death, and spiders. So if people are that afraid of public speaking, I could see how then people try to cover up that fear or whatever with, you know, I'm going to do the physical stuff in the ring. And for me, it was always from day one. And again, I don't know if it was necessarily a conscious thought, but it was always me being a youngest brother. Like, I'm a youngest of three. So I got two older brothers and me. And I mean, they're 8 and 9 years older than me. So I'm like way behind. In a way, I looked up to them. So it's like, okay, my brothers like the guys who could talk. I like the guys who could talk. In a way, it was like, all right, well, if they were watching, I'd want to be cool to them. And I think about stuff like that. So I'm just like, okay, well, then how would I do that? Who would I be? How would I be? And when I think about it, it's really just the person that I'd kind of become, but take that. Like, if you ever saw me at a party, that's part of LA night.
Well, that's got to be, that's a party that I want to be at.
me at a party, and then mix in me in an argument. And it's like those two together. It's just, that's the height of LA Knight. It's just, he's at a party, but he's also like ready to fight, which would never go together ever. If I was at a party, the last thing I'm looking to do is fight. But that's what's going on at SmackDown.
That's fantastic. All right, let's wrap with this. I'm going to hit you with something current going on. We just got the news that John Cena is retiring. He'll go on his farewell tour in 2025.
End of an era.
It really is. Are you looking forward to seeing what he does, or are you more focused on trying to get yourself in the fray?
No, definitely not focused on trying to get myself in the fray, because, I mean, if it fit, maybe. But as of now, it's like he's been a pretty big part of my career in the past year, which is huge. If we had a match, hell, that'd be amazing. If we had another tag team match, that'd also be amazing. At the same time, yeah, I think I'm just interested to see what happens, because it's so crazy. Because to me, like, 1998 was yesterday in my head. I just haven't gotten past that. I don't know if it's arrested development or what it is, but, you know, if somebody says 20 years ago, I still think of the 80s. Which just blows my mind when somebody's like, no, that was 40 years ago. So thinking of the fact that, like, to me, he's still like one of the new guard. He's still one of the new guys, which makes no sense to most people watching. I understand that. So, like, to see him now saying like, oh, well, I'm walking away, I'm retiring. And, you know, I see the clip of him showing up with Kurt Angle and, like, you know, ruthless aggression, that whole thing. And it's like, wow. And we're going to close this out already. It just seems so soon, so early, so quick. But when you think about it, it's been 22 years, and I can't wrap my head around the fact that it's been that long.
WWE superstar LA Knight, ladies and gentlemen, you can catch him and a host of other WWE superstars in Orlando on August 16th for Friday Night SmackDown. And you can get your tickets right now, Ticketmaster.com. You want to hit him with a good yeah before we wrap this one up?
I think I just gave you one. But yeah, everybody get your tickets. Get out there. You want to make sure you're there at SmackDown. You want to see everybody, but you definitely want to see this man with everybody saying L.A. Knight. Yeah!
L.A., thanks so much. I appreciate the time.
Thank you, man.
Content creation can be a difficult thing to tackle, especially if you're on your own, you've got a business to worry about, and you need a helping hand. That's what AuthenticAudioPro.com is all about. You can reach out to me directly on social media at Brandon Kravitz across all platforms. I'm happy to help. Everything from commercial production to live endorsements on this very show. I'll even help you launch your own high-quality podcast that you can be proud of. Customizable packages are available to fit your business's needs. I'm ready to work with you to tell your story and to make you sound great in the process. Learn more at AuthenticAudioPro.com.
Hey, it's Michelle Beadle. That's right, the Michelle Beadle. You're welcome. You love talking about sports. I love talking about sports. You know the only thing cooler than talking about sports? Sports. sports. And right now, all your favorite sports are on SiriusXM. I'm talking every NFL game, every game from the NBA, NHL, MLB, every NASCAR race, golf major, major conference college sports, and all the top games in the WNBA. If it gets your heart pumping, it's on SiriusXM. To start your free trial of SiriusXM today, visit SiriusXM.com/believe.